are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
This is your voice for freedom and democracy.
Hello, that's your frequency. You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
This is Radio Rhino International Africa. This is your voice for freedom. It is your symbol for the future. It is your symbol of hope. This is Radio Rhino International Africa. This is your voice for freedom. It is your voice for liberty.
Hello, you are on the right way. You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
Welcome to Radio Rhino International Africa. I'm Inga, presenting you the news today. After the news, Godfrey will make a commentary on the Bologna massacre.
Radio Rhino International Africa News.
Kampala, Uganda. Uganda's parliament on Wednesday declared the war-ravaged districts of the north and east humanitarian disaster areas. The declaration was intended to ease humanitarian access. The MPs, who were debating the recent massacre by rebels of over 200 internally displaced persons, said, "The disaster area will comprise the Acholi, Lengu and Tizo region. Many of the IDPs live in camps like that in Bologna, where the massacre was perpetrated on Saturday." Meanwhile, Uganda cabinet meeting on Wednesday rejected a parliamentary resolution declaring northern Uganda a disaster area. The cabinet concluded that the reasons advanced are not convincing. Barara, Uganda. In a recorded interview that aired on a local FM radio on Wednesday, dictator Museveni defended Colonel Kahinda Otafiro's religious talk over the by-election for the woman MP in Busenye. Last week, Otafiro advised the electorate to vote a Protestant candidate to heal wounds and offer a balance to the Catholic-dominated leadership at the district. Otafiro was criticized for promoting religious divisions. Kampala, Uganda. The Democratic Party yesterday said dictator Museveni to accept defeat in the war against Joseph Kony's LRA and go to exile. They also called for international military intervention in the north to stop the 18-year war. Democratic Party stalwarts told journalists at a press briefing that Museveni should learn from former Liberian President Charles Taylor to accept defeat and go to exile. Lira, Uganda. Government district security stopped a Lira-based Unity FM radio from ousting president of Uganda People's Congress, Dr. Apollo Milton Obote, who was intent to express his condolences to the bereaved people of Lango. Until last midnight, anxious and angry callers flooded the radio with calls and letters expressing anger as to why they cannot be allowed their elder and statesman speak to them. Subsequently, Radio Rhino International Africa will this Sunday host Dr. Milton Obote, who will speak in Luo. Please tune in to Radio Rhino International Africa and listen to Dr. Milton Obote this Sunday.
On behalf of the staff at Radio Rhino International Africa, the exiled members of Uganda People's Congress, on behalf of the people of Acholi and Lango in diaspora, living outside Uganda who have asked me to communicate their condolences to the bereaved people of Lango, and on my own behalf, I take this opportunity to express my deepest sorrow and condolences to the people of Lango, both living in and outside Uganda, following the Balonyo massacre of 257 innocent and armed civilians, children, women and men, who were last Saturday, the 21st February, massacred, burnt like rats and squirrels in their huts at Balonyo, 10 kilometers away from Abia, the location of another massacre of over 90 persons about 3 weeks ago, north of Lira town. We condemn those who carried out the beastly attack, massacres and holocaust at Abia and at Balonyo camp, bringing the approximate total number to 500 Lango killed brutally within the last 3 weeks. Furthermore, we condemn the killing of unarmed four demonstrators in Lira by heavily armed Ugandan forces who use excessive and unwarranted military deployment and force, shooting at the crowd with live bullets. It is revealed that a UPDF officer in Lira military barracks revealed that the army was planning to kill people at the demonstration. He therefore warned some members of the rally to stay away from the demonstration. It is therefore no surprise that four persons were shot dead and some laid now in the hospital with gunshot wounds. I send my wishes and message of quick recovery to those injured at the demonstration and are admitted in the hospitals in Lira. However, I condemn whoever did participate in the lynching of a man previously reported to have been an Acholi, the victim of the mob lynch, now identified as a brother-in-law to a Lango parliamentarian from East Lango. The motivation, intentions and the acts makes the perpetrators as guilty as dictator Museveni and those who carried out their Balonyo massacre. While I stand out to condemn reported tribal sentiments among Acholi and Lango, I cannot fail to notice the awkward, absurd, dead silence that followed the Abia and Balonyo massacre. No one told me nor the people of Lango, Uganda and the international community that the Lango victims were victims of a tribal hatred or killing. We, who now have the position to speak, must never be wanting, nor absent, but must be there at all times, in all social and political, whether to condemn, mourn and cry, and weep with all the victims of the 18 years old war, regardless of which tribe one belongs to. We, the people of Lango and Acholi and Teso and the entire Uganda, must conceive and treat a human being as God's climax of creation. What difference, therefore, does it make if we begin to act like the oppressor and killer dictator? What difference do we make if we too follow a similar path of destructive blanket and collective blames and discrimination of a community which would defeat the moral and noble logic of our 18 years old grievances, opposition and rejection of dictator Museveni? Each and every one among us has the Acholi, Lango, Teso, Lugwara, Muganda, Munyankole, Tutsi, etc., have the responsibility and duty to work in the preservation and protection of human life, but nonetheless, we must not shy away from fighting back against anyone, group, or a system that threatens our very existence, right to life, security, peace, and development. In this regard, as I've said in my previous talks, I call upon you, the victims of terrorism, to investigate and establish the identities and most motivations of the senseless mass killers. And once established, people of Acholi, Lango, and Teso must unite and act decisively to create a new secure environment devoid of Uganda army, government establishment, and collaborators, and deny dictator Museveni any further ground for governance through chaos, anarchy, terrorism in northern and eastern Uganda. It must now be clear enough that dictator Museveni mean harm to Acholi and Lwangu and Teso. As we have done before and still do now, be hereby warned that dictator Museveni wants and is doing everything possible to ignite a tribal war between our three tribes. We must not allow that. And if we must fight, then the real battle must be against dictator Museveni, who continue to deny us security and peace by rejecting the intervention of the international community in northern and eastern Uganda. Fellow citizens and my bereaved people of Acholi, Lwangu and Teso, the incidences of the last Wednesday whereby a careless person was killed must not be allowed to occur again. We are all brothers and sisters. We are one people. We are victims of state terror, chaos and anarchy. We are one community with one destiny. We must therefore refocus ourselves, attentions and effort and energy to target the Uganda dictatorship and hold him responsible for the killings in Lwangu to set a tribal wedge between our two tribes. Killing an innocent person makes you and me not any better off, nor different from those who have killed at Abia and Balonyo massacres. We must not shy away from saying that there is every effort to start off a tribal war between the Acholi, Lwangu and Teso. Whoever does that will be held responsible for refusing to inform the community that our enemy is set to divide us so that he may rule us final. Though aware of the high tension, pressure and frustration and the pain of our dead kith and kin, I call for total restraint among the people of Lwangu against any unarmed peaceful person living in our midst or traveling through our territory. I therefore call upon those listening to this broadcast to spread words around for restraint, normalization, and brotherly cohabitation with Acholi and Teso living in Lwangu. If there was ever any time in the last 18 years of dictatorship that Acholi, Lwangu, and Teso needed to unite and fight, then that time is now. Dictator Museveni is our only enemy. Are you really angry? Then fix it up with dictator Museveni, who has caused chaos and terrors for the last 18 years. It is time that you and me take terror and chaos and unrest and insecurity to his doorsteps or in the trenches in East Lwangu, where he is reported to be. Recently, while he was on interview on BBC Network Africa, dictator Museveni was asked whether he didn't feel like apologizing to the victims, relatives and people of Lwangu. He, in his answer, jumps back to his obsession of calling the victims of his war of vengeance, as those people had been killing in Nile Manson and in Ilweru. He says he knows the right time to apologizing. Aren't the Abia and Balonyo massacre reasons enough for a normal and sane human being holding the office of responsibility to apologize, and most likely resign in normal political circumstances? Did the women and children and the old men who died at the Abia and Balonyo massacre ever put any single foot? Did they ever step into the Nile Mansion? Can dictator Museveni prove that the people who were killed and massacred in Lwangu have ever been to Kampala or in Lweru? To dictator Museveni, we are all the same. We are those people who don't deserve apologies. We must be killed, or when we are killed, dictator Museveni refuses to apologize but runs back to his satanic verses of those northerners, those people, those killers. Well, if we are killers, why then haven't we all fought back at dictator Museveni? Now it is more obvious that it makes no difference not fighting back, because we, the northerners, are those people. His military spinner, Major Bantariza, says five people were killed in Lira. One person was shot, four were lynched by the mob, while three others were injured. But you, the people who were present in Lira, over 200,000 who came out to demonstrate your anger and frustration, know very well that four persons were shot dead by the Uganda security men, and one man was lynched. So we must do all that it takes now not to allow another massacre or killing of any single person to take place in Lwangu. Your call for national and international attention and intervention will only be effective and audible if and when you revolt and paralyze either half or the rest of the country. The fool governing Uganda knows and fears chaos. Let us therefore get to him and take him a share of the restlessness, chaos and anarchy and insecurity which he continues to hold away from his seat of power. You may be aware that today the Haitian opposition, dissatisfied with their government, took major towns and are vowing to take over the capital seat of power, and have issued an ultimatum to the Haitian president to relinquish power. We, the people of Acholi, Lango, and Teso, threatened by massacres, genocide, and extinction, have the noble cause and reasons for the society and the community to rise up and fight in the defense of our lives, that our children, women, elders, and the infirm may live in security. As long as we in the North remain insecure, we must henceforth not allow the rest of the country and Kampala to carry on with business as usual, while our mothers and children live in camps where they are killed like insects.
In the middle of this frenzy, a child in tears, his parents hacked to death in the latest massacres.
They're my villager. There are war there. I can't go. If I go there, I will die. I will die. If I have to go, I go there. I will die.
In a telephone interview with BBC Focus on Africa, whose audio extract we rebroadcasted on Tuesday night, the LRA political commissar Brigadier Sam Kolo denied the LRA carried out the Balonyo massacre. Now, in spite of Sam Kolo's narration of an attack on the LRA position and their counter-offensive against the attackers, intelligence report from Lango convinces me to conclude that the massacres at Abia and Balonyo was most likely carried out by the Uganda government counter-insurgency troops to prepare the Lango for the arrival of dictator Museveni in Lango, who must find them psyched up and braying for blood. On Wednesday morning, we missed a telephone call whose number and source indicated that it must have been a call from the LRA leadership. I am sure that Joseph Kony, Vincent Otie, and Sam Kolo are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa, and if that be the case, I call upon the LRA leadership to contact Radio Rhino International Africa, the people of Acholi and Lango, to explain their position on the Abia and Balonyo massacres, both of which are very essential for the relationship between the communities in northern and eastern Uganda. For some peculiar and very strange reason, last Saturday, February 21st, the majority of UPDF soldiers and local defense unit pulled out of Balonyo, leaving the security of 5,000 refugees to 30 hill-equipped soldiers of Amuka militia. The weapons used in the attack, the artillery, etc., are weapons that could not have been moved around very easily without detection. The attackers also are reported to have captured a Westerner, a UPDF second lieutenant commander of Amuka, who was stripped of his uniform and gun and set free to return to Lira. Now, if the enemy could kill innocent and armed Lango, and if that was the LRA, brutal as we are told they are, how and why did they spare the life of the UPDF commander and let him free to escape? Immediately after the Balonyo massacre, Colonel Otema Wany and Colonel Mulindo buried over 50 victims of the Balonyo massacre in a mass grave and were intent on burying the rest, if only the people did not stop them. Now, the Uganda army killed people who were taking photographs of the slain victim of the Balonyo massacre. The Balonyo massacre was carried out the morning of the day when the cold-blooded, satanic and evil president of Uganda, terrorist and killer dictator Museveni, arrived in Lango. Now, just last week, dictator Museveni told the editors of Monitor and New Vision newspaper that the UPDF had dealt a killer blow to the LRA, which now only had 50 fighters left.
Who then were the heavily armed men, dressed up in UPDF and Amuka uniform, that committed the Abia and Balonyo massacre? Dictator Museveni denies the reported number of the victims of massacre at Abalonyo. Sometimes back, he denied the Abia mass killing was a massacre. Commenting on the Balonyo massacre, Dictator Museveni says only 84 were killed. But eyewitnesses, victims, priests and journalists all put the number at not less than 257 persons massacred. To him, the life of Lang, or 84 Lang, or 257 very precious beings, with life is regarded as only, or rather, we, including me, Godfrey Ayo, are insects. Why all the denial and cover-up? What is it that the government wants to conceal? And what has been the government's role in the Balonyo massacre? And for what reason was it carried out? There can only be the following hypothetical answer, that the killing at Abia and Balonyo are schemes by Dictator Museveni to create more ground for the International Criminal Court and Justice to try the leadership of the LRA. Some observers still think that it may help to start tribal wars between his most feared enemies, the Acholi, the Lango, and the Teso, hence relieve him of the current political pressure and an oblique political future. Well, Dictator Museveni praises Lieutenant Colonel Mulinda for being a good soldier and being a good field commander. Hence, Mulindwa is rewarded with pledges of being sent for further military studies as a prize for the Balonyo massacre. Can the massacre of over 400 people be reason enough for a humane president to praise a failed military commander and call him a good soldier and an effective field commander? Isn't Dictator Museveni telling us, the people of Lang, that he is proud of Mulindwa for having killed over 400 Lango in less than 30 days? It sounds like he is saying that, well done, son, you have done well, you have shed enough blood. I therefore reward you with further studies, that you may learn more new skills on how to massacre more of these northerners. We appreciate the motion carried by Uganda Parliament declaring northern and eastern Uganda a humanitarian disaster zone. However, dear listeners and the people of northern and eastern Uganda, be hereby informed that the Uganda cabinet and dictator on Wednesday refused to accept the northern and eastern Uganda is a humanitarian disaster zone. It is therefore total folly for the inhabitants of northern and eastern Uganda from now henceforth to rely or seek for protection and security from a government that rewards a soldier for the massacre of 400 of my own kith and kin, a government that denies to accept that you are in a humanitarian disaster zone, that you are insecure. The people of Acholi, Lango and Teso have none other options but to sever ties with the central government, and whoever tries to stop you is your enemy. We still wait to see what reward Colonel Otema will get for the Abia and Balonyo massacre. A good soldier and commander would have laid down his life so that the civilians entrusted to his care may live. All the acts above demonstrate prior knowledge, premeditation, and a carefully planned mass killing by the soldiers of the Uganda Army. I implore each and every able-bodied person, women and men, retrenched, retired, and active trained military personnel, civil servants, businessmen, religious leaders, and anyone who values human life to rise up to the challenge, join and support every local security and apparatus put in place to liberate northern and eastern Uganda from the state of anarchy and insecurity. Aware that neither the Uganda dictatorship nor the international community will provide an expeditious intervention in northern Uganda, I call upon the victims of the war vengeance to take matters into your own hands now, today, and declare as enemies anyone or group or government working for the destruction of human life and property. Thus, anyone and all those persons under arms, bent on arming or killing innocent people, is the enemy of the community. It is enough now. Anyone, therefore, for personal, very selfish reasons and cowardice, propagates the notion that you must further entrust your security in the hands of a failed government, or anyone who tries to deter you from protecting yourselves, is an enemy and danger to your own life. We, the people of Acholi and Lango, ought to realize that if ever we have ever been threatened, it is now, more than at any time else in our history, as a people and community, that we must stand up united and fight back and die fighting, in the defense of our children and women, elders, the disabled, the infirmed, the malnourished, the sick, and the entire community, rather than surrender our lives to the mercy of state terror. It is more purposeful, in my view, to die fighting in the defense of our collective existence and survival. You cannot entrust your security and life into the hands of the consummate cold-blooded lying president, whose crocodile tears and admission of guilt on the part of his army must not be accepted. Because if he seriously regretted the massacre in Lango, the suffering of the people in Acholi and the entire inhabitants of northern and eastern Uganda, he could have allowed the international community to intervene in Uganda. He couldn't have praised Lieutenant Colonel Mulinda for having presided over the massacre of over 500 people in Lango in less than a month. Above all, dictator Museveni has guts to deny that 257 persons were massacred at Bologna.
To Radio Rhino International Africa and listen to Dr. Milton Obote this Sunday.